I apologize for the delay, but I will say. So let's pick up here in Perek Daled, Mishnah Hey. Could be that it's assembly neder. We'll come back to Mishnah Daled again. I'm not sure if we're finished with the shiftless haruach. Can't get enough of it, so maybe we'll come back to it. But for the moment, let's go on a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhah Omer, Hamachal Hashem Shamayim Baseisa, Nifran Mimenu Bagolik. Even if the Chilul Hashem happens in private, the punishment, Rachmana Litzlan, if the person doesn't avert it through tshuva, is begoli. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid v'chilul Hashem. And this is true. This holds true that nifran mimenu begoloi, whether the person brought about a chilul Hashem b'shogeg or whether he brought about the chilul Hashem b'mezid. What can happen? What can happen in private that Rachman Latzlan constitutes a Chilul Hashem? So the Rambam, first in Sefer Mitzvahs and then in Parakeh of Yisodei HaTorah, tells us that there are three types of Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. The first one is when there's a requirement of Yehoig V'Yavor. If the person complies, it's an act of Kiddush Hashem. If Rachman Litzlan, he doesn't comply, he's over when the halacha demands Yehoig Vel Yavor. So then it constitutes a Chilul Hashem. And for the Gimel Averos, that's true even Bitzina, right? Even Bitzina, the Zechiyah of Yehoig Vel Yavor. So one tziur of Chilul Hashem b'seisem is one of the Gimel Averos, where a person commits one of the Gimel Averos. Another tziur of Chilul Hashem, which can happen even Baseisa, even Bitzina, if a person is over an Avera spitefully, meaning it's not that the person is succumbing to a Yetzirah. There's no urge which is impelling him. There's no strong desire which is overwhelming him. But just out of Rachman Litzlan, a total disregard and a total, which represents a total contempt for a mitzvah, so a person is over an aver. So that too, even if there's no audience, I mean, there's always an audience to the Baruch Shalom, but even if there's no human audience, so that too constitutes a Chilul Hashem. In Perikei Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, "Kol ha'ovir midaito b'lo ones al achas mikol mitzvos amuz b'Torah b'shot b'nefesh l'hachis." Again, there's no natural urge. Again, when there is a natural urge, that obviously doesn't justify or allow for the Avera, but at least it contextualizes that the Avera represents a weakness rather than rebellion. But when there's no natural urge, when there's no taiva to which the person's giving in, to which he's succumbing, which then means that it's just it's contempt and spiteful behavior. So that's a Chilul Hashem Rachman Litzlan, even if it's in private. Harezi Machalas Hashem. And then the Rambam says a very fascinating pshat in the pasuk. He says, "Ulefichach nema b'shvur shaka v'chilalta Hashem." Elokecha ani Hashem. The Torah identifies that the Issur Shvuah Sheker always involves the Chilul Hashem. What does it involve the Chilul Hashem for? Says the Rambam, because it's an example of this type of, again, apathetic, contemptuous disregard for a mitzvah, as opposed to succumbing to an instinct or to an urge. So both of these types of Chilul Hashem can, Rachman al Atzlan, transpire even b'seisav, even b'tzina. And the Mishnah tells us that for whatever reason, that even if the infraction is b'seisav, is b'tzina, but the onesh that's forthcoming is begolah. What does it mean, Echad Shogeg ve'Echad Mezid v'Chilul Hashem? So all the Rishonim that I saw, and but presumably it has to be true, even for those that for everyone, it doesn't mean that the Chomer ha'Aveira is the same. It doesn't mean that the Mishnah is equating that the severity of the chait is the same, whether it's b'shogeg or b'mezid. So what does it mean? So what it means is that this yesod, this midah, that even if the Chilul Hashem was b'seisen in front of mimena b'goldoi, that this midah holds true whether the Chilul Hashem was a Chilul Hashem that happened b'shogeg or whether it was a Chilul Hashem that happened b'mezid. But Lemaisa Yitachain, and again, this next step, not everyone takes, but by any stretch of the imagination, but Kimaduma, that you do find support for this in the Maharal, for instance. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan Broca could have economized. And he could have said, Hamachal Hashem Shamayim, Bein B'shogeg, Bein B'mezid, Afilu B'seisar, Nifran Mimenu B'gola. Did I say any words there? Yeah, I think I saved a couple of words. The last Chilul Hashem you don't need. I think we saved a couple of words there. And it is striking that the Loshon of Echad Shogeg ve'Echad Mezid b'Chilul Hashem, Hagam, that it's, again, its primary meaning is that they are equated in terms of this midah of Nifran Mimenu B'Goloi, but yet the fact that the phrase intimates a certain equivalence. So Yitachen, that even though it's not intended to suggest that, again, that it's entirely so, it's not intended to blur the difference, but it does, l'chora, intimate that maybe the shogeg and mezid of Chilul Hashem are not as far apart as shogeg and mezid are in Kol HaTorah Kulo. The Maharal points out, very interestingly, he says, where else in Halacha do we find that the gap between Shogeg and Mezid is not as dramatic as it is in Kol HaTorah Kulo. So we find the Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, when it comes to an Adam Hamazik, that Adam Mu'ad La'olam, Bein B'Shogi, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Onas, Bein B'Ratzon. If you're mazik mamon chavercha, so it doesn't make a difference whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, the same bill to pay. You have to pay the same bill. When it comes to shvichas damim, now clearly there is a very, very real and very, very significant difference between shogeg and mezid, but yet the difference is not as dramatic as it is in Kol HaTorah Kulo. The Ratzeach B'Shogeg, the Maisa, can be killed. If the Gol Adam catches up with him, Chutz L'Ir Miklat, the Gol Adam can kill. Again, we're not blurring the difference between Shogeg and Mezid, but Me'idach Gisa, to a degree, that difference is diminished. So what do those two examples have in common? What do those two examples have in common? If I break your window, so I can break your window because I maliciously go over with a baseball bat and smash your window. Well, I can break your window because I was playing baseball and in the ballpark next field and I hit a home run. We'll excuse that breach in modesty, but I hit a home run and it clears the to dead center and it clears the center field wall and keeps going. It keeps going and breaks your window. So yeah, one was mazed, one was shogeg, but the result is the same. And the Isser is very much result-oriented. Now, again, does that mean that we totally blur the difference between Shogeg and Mezid? No, it doesn't. But Me'idach Gisa, one also understands how, you know, if I go over to you and say, gee, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break your window, when I see your window is still broken. And when the person kills B'Shogeg, and again, kills B'Shogeg, we're not talking about a Shogeg Kav La'onos. I'm not talking about that it was really, really so fluky that you couldn't have expected anymore. No, there is a degree of culpability. There is a degree of liability and neglect in the person who kills B'Shogeg. Okay, so it's very nice that he gets up in court and apologizes to the family. But the bottom line is that the other person is dead. And the Shogeg doesn't mitigate the consequence. So when Shogeg, here's the Yisod Rabbah say, when Shogeg doesn't mitigate a consequence, it doesn't mitigate the Aveira as much. By most Aveiras, the Aveira is not so much the consequence as the act. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't do this, a person did it. Okay, so how can you equate? A Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't do it, and a person did it be mezid, or a person did it be shogeg, it's kechog mizvach mimayrev. It's so dramatically different. But when the Dagish Chazak is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't bring about that result, don't bring about that consequence, not just don't do this. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't bring about that result. Don't be shofer dam ha'adam. Don't bring about that result of shvichas damim. Not just don't engage in that act. Don't bring about that result. So then, is there a difference between shogeg and mezid? Absolutely. But is the difference as great as it is in all other contexts? No. Because the fact that it's shogeg doesn't mitigate the consequence. Your window is still broken, whether I was mazed or shogeg, and the person is still dead, regardless of whether or not the rotzeach was shogeg or mazed. Shogeg doesn't mitigate the consequence, and therefore it doesn't mitigate the act as much. Chilul Hashem also, we're dealing with very real consequences. That's the whole Aveira is defined in terms of, I'll take that back. Chilul Hashem, we're also dealing with consequence. Because of that, the difference between Shogeg and Meziv, is there a difference? Yes. And when it says Echad Shogeg, Echad Meziv, B'chilul Hashem, is it equating them in terms of the degree of Onesh, Rachman Letzlan? Absolutely not. The difference between Shogeg and Meziv is not blurred. But Avo B'chein, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says it in a way that sort of intimates a certain equivalence, telling us that, but be aware that as we find in some other areas of halacha, the difference between shogeg and mezid is not as dramatic as it is in Kol HaTorah Kula. Because here too, it's very much result and consequence oriented. You know, sometimes I'm not commenting on the Dine Shamayim, but Bahadei Kavshei Derachmana. I certainly don't know anything. But you know, sometimes the objective Chilul Hashem, when the Chilul Hashem is b'shogeg, is greater when the Chilul Hashem is b'mezid. Let's say you have, now we're talking more about, not so much about B'seis, we're talking more about when it's B'fahasi. Let's say you have someone who, and we all do to a degree, right? Like it or not, we all do to a degree, who represents Torah. I think the Chofetz Chaim already said, you know, post Haskalah, when Shomei Torah mitzvahs are the minority in Klal Yisrael, so we all do. Once upon a time, it was what the Rambam says, it was an Adam Godel b'Torah mufosim b'chassidus. But now it's true for all of us. We're all ambassadors. Once upon a time, when Olam Kiminhogam Noeg Dvam Ketikunan, all Jews were Shomei Torah Mitzvahs. So who stood out? And Adam Gadol and Fosim Chassidus stood out. Now, Rachman Lanzlan, that most Jews are assimilated. So who stands out? We all stand out. Every one of us stands out. not just the Gedolim, Betorim, Fusam, Chassidus. We also stand out. We're also exceptional. We're also extraordinary. So when you have someone who represents Torah, he wears a yarmulke. He's clearly outwardly recognizable and identified with Torah. And let's say he gets caught for being involved in, I don't know, inside trading or whatever it is. And of course, certain newspapers will make sure to put them on the front page and make sure that the angle of the picture allows you to see the yarmulke. You won't have to go beyond the second paragraph to find out that he's an Orthodox Jew. All objective journalism for the betterment of the public, of course. So that is that a Chilul Hashem? Yeah, that's a Chilul Hashem. What's the Chilul Hashem? Because someone who represents Torah acted in a way that's antithetical to Torah. And that's a Chilul Hashem. But when a person is shogeg b'Chilul Hashem, again, I'm not talking about what the liability and what the culpability is. Rav Shalom doesn't need anyone's advice. Certainly not mine. But when a person is shogeg b'chil Hashem, so then imagine that if when the person robbed the bank, he insisted that he's doing so because that's what the Torah teaches. Imagine that he had this distorted view of Torah, that it's not that despite the fact that he represents Torah, he gave in to a weakness and robbed the bank. No, he insists. He insists. And you know why I robbed the bank? Because the Torah says you should rob the bank. Torah agrees with Robin Hood. Steal from the rich and give to the poor. And let's say that he really believes that. He's sufficiently crumb that he really believes that. So is he shogeg? Could be yes. Could be yes. Let's assume in theory he is. But on an objective, in terms of the substance of the Chilul Hashem, the substance of the I'm not commenting on culpability and liability, where in the spectrum it comes up. Whatever, there's plenty of culpability, liability, wherever it is in the spectrum. Objectively, in terms of the substance of the Chilul Hashem is greater. It's a greater distortion of Torah. When a person, the Chilul Hashem that the Rambam talks about in Perikei Halacha Yud Aleph, of the age of Mechayim Shem Bechal Chilul Hashem, who she yase Odom, Godol B'Torah Mufosim B'Chassidus. If you have a Rambam, take a look. Hey, Yud Aleph, I will say. In Yisodei HaTorah. Hey, Yud Aleph, in Yisodei HaTorah. Thank you. V'yesh dvarim acherim shem b'chal chil Hashem. V'hu shi'asa olam godo b'tom fosim achazid dvarim shabiyos meranenos achara b'shvilan. Makes tongues wag. V'afo b'sh'enam avera, so is the chil Hashem, k'yon sh'lokach v'enu nosin dvei alekach la'alter. V'hu yesh lo v'nimtu amochen toven v'hu makifon. O sh'yarbe b'schok, o b'achilu sh'ir etzal amei o'orts v'beneihem. O sh'en dibur b'nachasim abiyos v'enu makablon. B'seve ponim yofos al bal k'tata v'kas. V'chayotze b'dvarim elu. So it's unbecoming behavior. There isn't a representation made that he's doing so because the Torah says I should be a Bal Ketata V'Kas. And the Torah says it shouldn't be Dibur B'Nachas Im Abios. There's no such representation being made. Maybe that's part of the, I don't know, is that implicit in his behavior because he represents Torah? But either way, there's no explicit representation being made. Maybe it's implicit willy-nilly and that's the Chilul Hashem Shabbat. But certainly, when it's explicit, which is possible, b'shogeg, so then objectively, in terms of the consequence, again, I'm not talking about objectively, in terms of the consequence, the Chilul Hashem is greater. When the government correctly says that a school has to be closed down because it's causing an outbreak, contributing. It's one of the contributing factors to an outbreak. And then you illegally go into basements thinking that that's the righteous thing to do. When kishala atzmo, it's against the Torah. You go into basements and you learn aloud, and there's exposure, and that's packaged as the right thing to do, because b'shogeg eichshehu, people are confused on that. So is it shogeg? Yes. But is the substance of the Chilul Hashem even greater? Yes. It's not just that a person is behaving in a way that's unbecoming. It's that the person is attributing that to Torah and righteously insisting that that's what's supposed to be happening. Let's go on a little bit.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
When the Chilul Hashem is b'seser, so what are the consequences in that case?
You're entirely right that if it's, you know, b'chadre chadorim, in the sense that no one is aware of it, you don't have the consequences of what other people, that the impression made upon other people. Let's say a person, mamish, you have one yochid, and b'chadre chadorim, I don't know, maybe there is one honest there besides him, let's say that he's Commander Lessa. So you're right, you don't have the consequences in the sense that others know, but that in and of itself, that a Jew behaves in that way, that in itself is a measure of Chilul Hashem, right? If you think about it, right? Obviously, something like this never really happened. But if you have an Adam Gadol B'Torah who b'chadre chadorim, again, this never ever happened, but b'chadre chadorim would do something that constituted a Chilul Hashem. So, right, it's intuitive that yes, it's not the same as were that to be the rabbim or become known to the rabbim, but that in and of itself, that there's a measure of Chilul Hashem shavo. Ushmeinu karasa b'shmecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you allowed that our name Yisrael contains within it your name, one of your names, Kel. So we all have that name, And that name is our name, Beseser, as well. And that itself generates a measure, obviously, relatively speaking, a much, 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 much smaller measure. But that notwithstanding, it does generate a measure of Chil Hashem. Imagine that one of the Gedolei Ador, Beseser, for no good reason, he had a kosher salami in front of him and a treifa salami, and he ate the treifa salami. That's a Chil Hashem. It may be a Chil Hashem that no one else would know about. Again, something like that never happened. But if you just think about it, in theory, in context of your question. There's more to discuss in this mission, but let's go on to the next one. Rav Shmuel b'no Omer halomid amanas lamed mespik miyad l'lumod lamed. V'halomid amanas lasas mespik miyad l'lumod lamed v'lasas. Mistama, the Mishnah should be understood as Michal Hain, Natasha Melaf. So, Alomir Amanas the Lamed is Maspig Miyad the Lilmo the Lamed. Alomir Shalom Amanas the Lamed is Ain Maspig Miyad, not only the Lamed, I mean, that goes without saying. But even lilmod in a real genuine sense of the word, there's sort of inauthentic ways of learning also, which on the surface can look like learning, but in a genuine authentic sense. Person has to be lomed al manas lamed. So what does that mean? When everyone is supposed to, I don't know, everyone's supposed to go into chinuch. Everyone's supposed to go into avonos. Obviously not. And on so many different levels, that's obviously not true. But when you think about it, so. That question that I'm asking is obviously not a question, even though I think maybe it does occur to us, but because it reflects a very wrong mindset that we have. We have this sort of sharp division sometimes between Balabatim and Chveis and Rabbonim, Machanchim. As though they're two classes of people. They're not two classes of people. There's one class of people, Jews, all of whom have the same set of obligations. We have different vocations. But clearly, everyone has, in some context, to some degree, the ability and the opportunity, l'lamed. Maybe that context and opportunity is with one's children. Maybe that context and opportunity is with one's chavrusa. Again, the the definition of the relationship isn't Rebbe Talmud, but about the Mechavera, Yossi Merabosa. Maybe in pre, so Zalgant Halfen, that should be post-COVID times, at a Shabbos table, when you're sharing a meal with someone, when you share a Dvar Torah. So Lelame doesn't mean that a person has to be by vocation a Rav or a Malamed. And it doesn't mean that he has to have a classroom and a teacher's desk. It means that he's a Jew who learns Torah and shares it. That's what it means. And that's true for all of us. Why is this relationship so symbiotic? Again, for the Rambam, it's reflected also in the fact that it's one mitzvah. Lil Mod Lame, the Rambam didn't count as two mitzvahs, counted as one mitzvah. Okay, but even if you would count it as two mitzvahs, it clearly is a symbiotic relationship. What's pshat? So you're talking as follows. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Moshe kilas Yaakov. So Torah is a legacy to kilas Yaakov. The Torah is emphasizing that the Torah isn't private property, it's public Jewish property. It's a marosha. It's not my marosha or your marosha. It's our marosha. Yitochen, that what that means is, hey Yost, that it's a marosha Gilas Yaakov, a person has no right to then appropriate Torah as his own. A person learns Torah without the intent to share as, again, opportunity and context allow. So what's he doing? He's taking this public, communal, national marosha, and he's making it his own. Let's say I go into the Beis Medrash and I see there's a sefer there, and whoever donated the sefer, I mean, this is understood even if he didn't inscribe it, but let's say it's inscribed Rachel Vitrak Tana, that it's for the rabbim to use. And then I'll take that sefer and I'll take it home with me and I'll put it in my bookcase. But I can't do that. It's intended for the rabbim. It's a neches of the rabbim. So what do you mean that I'm now going to take that neches of the rabbim and I'm going to have it under lock and key in my house? Torah tzivlanu Moshe Marosha Kilas Yaakov. So Mamela, a person has to be ready and intending to share whatever he knows. Okay, now the sharing has to be done with discretion. If a person is zocha, those who are yichidei skula or zocha denos sisrei Torah, they're only allowed to share it with individuals who are roi lechach. Okay, it doesn't mean that that the sharing is done indiscriminately and without discretion, but factoring in the necessary that caveat, it's not my Torah. When the Gemara in Kedushin says Torah Sedilei, it means something very different. It's not my Torah that I am entitled that I am entitled to keep it in my Rishus HaYochid. But it has to be lomed al manas lamed. In a very different sense, a person has to be lomed al manas lasos in a very different sense. Because Talmud Torah, it's an exercise which requires the full harnessing and exertion of one's intellectual kochos, but it's a religious and metaphysical undertaking and exercise. An intellectual exercise, I don't know, I can be the world's leading dietitian and not eat a good diet. It's not stupid. It's an intellectual exercise. So my intellectual exercise, l'chud, and my eating preferences, l'chud. But if it's not an intellectual exercise, if it fully harnesses every last bit of our intellectual kochos, but it's a religious or metaphysical undertaking, exercise, which is rooted in a religious and metaphysical commitment, so then there can't be any disparity between what we learn and what we do. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Okay, everyone should have a very good, productive day, and then Guten Shabbos. Everyone should be well, be safe, Be'ezus Hashem. Thank you.